Hi, I'm Via Skinner, coordinator for Campus Communications. Welcome to HCC 360. Have you ever played a video game or used a social media platform and said, I wonder how they build these? Well, Hartford Community College now offers the first step in learning how. The Interactive Media Program combines aspects of computer science, mass communications, art, and more. And yes, a lot of gaming. WHFC student intern Mohammed Bangora sat down to talk with assistant professor Rachel Kava, who runs this brand new program. Let's get into it.
Hey, thanks for coming in. To start, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Rachel Kava. I am a professor here at Hartford Community College of Interactive Media Production, but I also teach in the Mass Communications Department and the Communication Studies Department. Before I came here, I was teaching at the College of Southern Maryland in Waldorf, Maryland. Moved to Hartford in 2019. I have three kids, husband, cats, backyard chickens, a dog, and I play roller derby. I'm also a vegetarian.
So you just do it all, right?
I have no time to even sleep most of the time. So, but you know, if I'm not busy, I'm not happy. So,
well, can you give me an overview of what the IMP program is?
So the Interactive Media Production program takes elements of art and computer science, graphic design, things like that, and puts them all together in a way that specific jobs need them to be put together. So often you just get your art degree or you get your computer science degree or you get a programming degree. This has elements of all that because in some jobs you need all of that or you cannot get the job. This is specific to social media management and brand management and gaming and app development and website development, audio and video production, YouTube and Twitch streaming, and all the things you can imagine that you would use graphics and audio and video and, you know, character creation for.
And so it seems like the course is really versatile, but if I'm like really interested in specifically gaming, is there like a path inside of that course that I can get a little bit more experience on that than some of the other things?
So that depends on what you want to do in gaming. If you want to do development, then that is the technical pathway. If you want to do art, the art for games, or even the boxes that they come in or the avatars you see on the Xbox, you know, or PlayStation sites, then that's the art side of things. I guess you got to pick.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you take art and technical stuff on both pathways, but does take a little bit of a fork in the road at some point when you decide.
And I know in terms of art, you said doing like the designs for PlayStation and stuff like that. What kind of software are you guys using on that?
Ooh, we have the entire Adobe Creative Suite. We have Unity and Blender. And working on getting some Unreal Engine stuff. We have green screen technology. Also, both fingers crossed, working on getting the motion capture equipment, like a suit and some of the tracking software that might go with it.
You think it's important for it to be a hands-on experience?
Absolutely. I always tell my students, literally the first thing out of my mouth when we, in a video, a welcome video on Blackboard or the first day of class, this is a doing stuff class. We're going to talk about stuff, and then we're going to do the thing that we just talked about. Whether it's practicing a marketing pitch or designing a character in Adobe Animate, we are doing the thing as soon as we talk about it. I think that keeps it fresh. If we have, you know, a PowerPoint slide up on the board that talks about the user-centered design process, and then we're applying that to a user-centered asset that we're creating on the computer at that time, it sinks in and maybe make you remember it a little bit more. I'm an audiovisual learner. So if I am seeing something, hearing something, doing something over and over again, it holds on more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, practice makes perfect.
Absolutely. Always. And I want my students and students in this program, and not just in the IM classes, but in the art and the computer science pathway, to have something to take with them. Mm-hmm. And if we're not doing stuff, they're not going to have anything to take with them. And I think projects are so much more important than lecturing all day long.
I mean, yeah, that's the definition of interactive, right?
Exactly.
Being hands-on.
Exactly.
How would you define interactive?
Interactive is anything where the user inputs anything and get something back as a result of their choice. So you're playing PlayStation. I'm playing Returnal right now. I love a game where you grind. You grind, you die, you grind, you die, you grind, you die. You remember, you get this input of pushing the button and the character jumps and you get to the place you need to go. That's interactive. But so is liking something on social media. Mm-hmm. That's interactive. You add something to your cart on a website. That's interactive. The website added it to the cart. So it's responding to something. Not all interactive is digital. Mm-hmm. And not all immersive is digital, and we are learning the differences between what makes something digital and digital immersive and digital interactive in these courses.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about VR, AR, MR, and UX. Can you go into a little bit more detail into those?
Yes, because these are used improperly all the time, and it makes sense to have the absolute definition going into these things if you want to make these things, then yeah, you need to know.
Let's start with VR.
VR is complete immersion in another world. This is like, we have two Oculus Rift headsets that belong to the program. Mm-hmm. That is going on that and immersing yourself in, I can't think of the name of the one, but it's the gorilla game where you're in the jungle and you're doing gorilla things. And then there's a dinosaur one that's Jurassic Park-ish. Same thing, immersing yourself in an ancient world. Something like that or the PlayStation VR. Some training stuff is like that, like maybe for like military, medical, law enforcement, do a complete immersive simulation, but you are not seeing the real world. Your eyes are covered, your ears are covered. And if you're not careful, you're going to run into something.
AR,
that takes actual reality and like alters it in some way. And the best example of this is Pokemon Go, because you're looking at your backyard, but then, ooh, there's a Charizard or whatever, and it's really your backyard, and the thing is not really there if you look away from your phone, but it's there on your screen, so it's augmented reality. Another example of this is going to be like your Snapchat filters, mm-hmm. where you can put a bow on your head when you definitely don't have a bow on your head. And something else people don't think about, this is like Zoom backgrounds. Mm. It's your actual face, but it's, you know,
the background. You could be somewhere completely different.
Yeah, mine is Middle Earth from Lord of the Rings. So
so what does MR stand for?
Mixed reality.
Mixed reality.
Yeah. Okay. So it's combining virtual and augmented, which sounds like it doesn't work, but it does. So there's also a lot of travel software that, you know, when you're planning a trip and you want to take a volcano helicopter ride in Hawaii or whatever, it'll show you which ones you can go to, what's the real life like, what's happening there now, maybe by drone or whatever, and then you pick the one you want, you click it on, put it in your cart on your little travel app, and that's how you get it.
And you said that's mainly what the gaming industry is moving forward, but is how much of an emphasis is it in the medical field with your example?
I think that is the most common in the medical field at the moment. I was reading something the other day about MR and that they have even started using it in operating rooms to like train themselves how to do the thing before they do it. So that is the main use right now. I think VR gaming will want to do that sooner or later. They're already starting. Oh, there's also something else that I read about literally yesterday because I was kind of like thinking about the interview. What else can I say besides medical? That's boring and gross. Mm-hmm. But there are also these glasses, and they're made by several different companies that chefs wear. And they can focus the glasses on a piece of meat or chicken or fish and know the temperature.
Oh, that's
and know
cool.
if it's ready. They can focus the glass on it and glasses on it and see if it's too hot. Or if you're making something temperamental like risotto or you don't want to break a sauce, it can tell how hot the burner is. It like for some reason the dial is messed up or something. I mean, it's a lot of applications for that. We just think about COVID and they'd be able to just look at somebody and tell what their temperature is. It doesn't go through all of the embarrassment of, you know, temperature going to the forehead. Mm-hmm. Just, hey, can you come with me? You know, we want to check you out, you know. So the application also maybe in like airport security situations, certain things give off certain temperatures that you're not supposed to have. So things like that would be applications outside of gaming. Eventually, I think we're going to be able to do all of this. I don't know if it's in our lifetimes, but eventually I think we will.
What about UX?
UX is so easy. It's just whether or not something works and you liked it. It stands for user experience. and the research behind it tells you, so, okay, this pharmacy app, someone who is a new mother at 18 or whatever needs to learn how to use this to get their baby's antibiotic when they get a cold or whatever they get. But also my 70-year-old mother needs to be able to use it to re-up her, you know, blood pressure medication or whatever. So it's about saying who the audience is and is every member of the audience able to use it correctly without issue. And it also, it's about being inclusive yet targeted.
And I'm sure that marketing plays a big part in that as well.
Oh, yeah. If you market that you have the biggest, baddest product in the world and for whatever the thing is, and then it crashes.
Yeah.
I think I had an experience with that today. I was on the phone with Department of Education, student loan division, and the phone cut out, the website dropped, and it was, you know, because of, you know, the recent news about loan forgiveness, I'm sure, but also... Yeah. Did you not know this was coming? You should probably should have upped your service. You probably should have had the phones, you know, dealt with or whatever it is. So the user experience is so important because if they see your name on a product and it's terrible, they're not going to go back for a second try. Getting it right and doing that user experience research ahead of time is important.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach that.
Yeah. How do y'all balance out those four? Because I know you said that the industry is moving towards MR, but it seems like VR is the most like out there, the easiest one to use, I would say, other than like AR, because that's already kind of involved on people's phones, but they're using a completely different way. How do y'all balance between the importance for it, especially when people are trying to get a career out of this?
Well, I think you have to know how to develop all kinds of things and understand who needs each thing. So I will go back to my mom. She had knee surgery a few years ago, and it was during the pandemic, so she couldn't always go to her physical therapist, so they literally gave her this, like, medical VR headset, and so she could do virtual physical therapy on her knee from home. And my mom, 70 years old, it was put it on your head, hit the button on the side. But like my son, the VR is very... you know, that's hands and eyes and ears and everything. And I think that you have to think about who's using it and which one is more appropriate or user-friendly to make their experience the best. MR, the future, maybe mostly for gaming and tech training and things like that. I don't know about the applications outside of like what we were talking about, the chef's glasses, the doctor's glasses, things like that. VR, I think, is here to stay for gaming. I'm not seeing a whole lot outside of that being developed. MR is really taking over for the training purposes. And augmented reality, that's a fun one, not so much as
technical.
And I don't want to say it's technical because it's difficult to create on your own.
Yeah, most
so, but it doesn't, not everything has to be this broad-based, you know, military application. Some things are, it's okay to some things to be fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like it's probably like one of those things that's like easy to use, like hard to master.
Yes, exactly. And the UX, the user experience, that's involved in everything. I mean,
you feel like y'all have a lot of devices that are user friendly, like it's easy for the students to use.
We just got a brand new PlayStation 5, and we just got a new Xbox Series X. I am working on getting a Switch. I wanted to wait and see if Nintendo released a different edition or something, so I didn't get that one immediately. Like I said, we have the Oculus headsets and we have drones and all the microphones and cameras. And I think we have some lighting set up, some travel lighting setup kits that would work for going out and capturing maybe the reality part of augmented reality or whatever. But we also have access to Pro Tools and the full Adobe Creative Suite, Final Cut for video, like I said, Unity and Blender and all the other things I'm trying to get. Another thing that we do with these programs is I like to always tell students, okay, you have access to this here, but you ever need to go elsewhere to do these things. Oh, you might use Photoshop InDesign here, but you can also use Canva and that's free. You can use Audacity for audio and that's free. Or you can use, there's a few other, like there's several video production things you can use that are free. Even YouTube has an editor.
Yeah.
So you can do all this stuff outside of here. And I try to give options for maybe someone who's just trying to start a company, doesn't want to buy software, just trying to start a brand or something. Mm-hmm. And they want to have that leg up and not buying things ahead of time.
Yeah, just making it clear that you have a bunch of resources available
yes.
to you.
So many people a long time ago decided the internet was a great idea to share stuff. And luckily, some of it is software.
Mm-hmm. So. Y'all take them through the business side of how to brand and
yes.
how to market.
See,
and stuff
a lot like of that. My background is in marketing, advertising, social media, and of course, radio. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time within each, well, not a lot of time, I guess, a lot of effort within each project they may produce, getting students to market, to perfect their pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever form that ends up taking for them, I let students kind of pick their path. If they are into gaming, they can do every project on gaming. They mm-hmm. can do every project on social media if they want, because I want them to have this experience. They'll experience each other's projects mm-hmm. if it's not what they're into, because it's such a small class at the moment, which, you know, I'm hoping to increase it. But at the moment, joining this program is going to get you a lot of attention and a lot of personal attention from instructors and lab techs and things like that. So marketing, real world professionalism. Another thing that we focus up quite a bit on is ethics, fair use laws, copyright, intellectual property, who should get paid for what. And that's not only so they don't rip somebody off, so they don't get ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't just lend out their songs to anybody.
Yeah.
Creative Commons is amazing. And SoundEffects.org mm-hmm. are amazing for being able to get stuff. But there are a lot of creators out there that have been burned by that.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody to be burned. People should be paid for their art, I think. And even if their art is tech. So.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Like, I had to learn myself, like, royalties, splits, mm-hmm. What I should do, distribution and stuff like that. So it's good that y'all are teaching them that early.
Yes. I think it's important. I said, you know, art and tech have always seemed a little wild, wild west to mm-hmm. outsiders. And it's finally becoming normalized to claim your property. And I think it's a good thing.
You feel like it's hard to teach a field of study that's, like, constantly changing?
Well, I'm never bored. Never bored when I am doing lesson plans and creating assignments. Mm-hmm. And it's hard in that I can't just write it out. I can't write a semester out. Because if something blows up at Bethesda Games, we got to talk about it. If something like last year when CD Projekt Red released Cyberpunk 2077 too early and it was just glitchy.
Buggy
trash. And I'm telling you that the glitch fail videos were some of my favorites. And we would watch them in class if we had an extra 10 minutes, then talk about why, you know, talk about crunch and the how demand and business offices within companies will demand art be mass produced quickly and that they should always not do that. That is not always good. In fact, it's almost never good when crunch is involved. People are always hurt by that. I think that talking about current events keeps it current. I could order a textbook for the class. I could say, oh, we're going to have this textbook now. But by the time it was published, it's old news 3 times ago. I try to keep up with a lot of the actual academic research into these things, as well as like popular culture references and yeah. things like that, that get thrown in. And first day of class, I always ask, what are your fandoms? What are you guys into? Because that's what I will try to associate. It makes associations easier if it's something you're familiar with. Knowing what's going on and what's good on streaming and what's good on gaming is very important, as well as what technologies are coming up.
I mean, yeah, as big as social media is, I don't think it's really that hard to get students like caught up to speed. Of course, mm-hmm. it's such like a broad industry. You can definitely teach them something that they've never heard of. But
and actually, I have found this to be very it sounds so silly, but I almost every time I teach a class that involves talking about social media, people want to know about MySpace. The originator. They want to know about message boards. They want to know about all this stuff that. Thing that started things. And so it's good to go back, but also it's good to move forward. And I'm definitely one for listening to students and what they think is important and what they think is up and coming.
What do you think the market is for some of these skills and what kind of jobs do they lead to?
So the market for the skills, it's hard to pinpoint it. We live in an area in Harford County where we have access to 95 and 695 and 495 and 295 as you get closer down to DC. And the Hunt Valley corridor of tech is a big place that people sleep on. People think Silicon Valley is where everything is made. And a lot of games are made here. A lot of apps are made here in Maryland on the East Coast. Hunt Valley is considered one of the East Coast hubs of tech. So we're trying to work with some of those companies to not only gauge the markets, but maybe foster some internship opportunities. A little bit of a drive, but not as far as California. So it's in Bethesda, like in Montgomery County, again, a little bit of a haul, but not in the summer if you're not taking classes and you want a nice internship. Yeah. So we're trying to develop these relationships, of course, APG, and we already have kind of a relationship with Firaxis Games. So we are expanding that. Oh, I have a whole list I could read to you of jobs if you would like me to do that.
So. Sure. Try to pinpoint some of the highest paying jobs because, you know, people are always interested in those.
Well, information architect is one. That is someone who takes information, data, graphics from the ground up to tell a company what they need to do to improve, to modernize, to just be back in the game if they're out of it, or stay in the game if they are on top. There's no more nervous place to be than on top. So you've got to try to find the talent and try to find the data and the apps and the things that are going to improve what's already in the very fickle public eye perfect at the moment. Then some other ones would be a multimedia developer. If you can do multimedia development, that means someone says, here's the project and you can do everything on it.
Like you talking about audio, visuals,
video, adding graphics, adding animation, adding special effects, and then adding the coding and programming aspect of it. That's a big one. So something like user experience manager, that one, you would need some good communication skills, some working knowledge of how different generations think, talk, act, and what they expect of a company. That's the person who, when everybody up from the bottom of the phone tree gets the, can I speak to your manager? That's when the user experience manager gets involved. Or the user experience researcher will get involved and be like, okay, so we've never had your problem before. We're trying to research how to fix it. These are the people who are the top of the food chain on customer service. And sometimes that involves then using algorithms from social media sites and metrics from websites to determine if this is a one-off problem that can't really be fixed by rearranging things.
Or if it's a recurring issue
to lots of people. Or is it the same type of person, the same generation, the same type of computer that is having a problem with their website or software? Another one that is in that kind of vein is like a product or project manager. They are also kind of involved in every little aspect, but they are the end of the line in a production.
They oversee the project and they have to understand the ins and outs of all the.
And they have to have good communication skills because there are so many different kinds of personalities within creative and technical work and any kind of work. But this is somebody who on a high level brings it together, reins everybody in, but also knows the tech. So someone can't pull the wool over their eyes and roll the budget up a lot. So that more than necessary. Marketing and sales are another one that you can do. If you know the tech, if you've developed the tech, if you have experience with it, then selling it, you know, you can do that. And then animators, depending on what you're doing. Also game developers and designers, they make a little bit of money too, but some of those are on project basis.
So like you contracts?
Contract, like a project. I mean, you may have like a year-long contract, but then the game takes 5 years. So then you constantly have to prove that you should be on contract next year again.
And what kind of experience do they look for? What kind of qualifications do they look for and stuff like that? Like a degree will get you in there? Do you need experience or like?
So you're gonna want the degree, either this degree or taking this to a 4-year or whatever. And they also maybe want a little experience. They don't necessarily mean you got to have worked somewhere for 5 years. It could be a couple of internships. It could be you helped an uncle who owns a business, you know, up their social media presence. And then probably something like a digital portfolio that can be sent.
This is another question, too, because I feel like games as a whole right now, the industry isn't like, it's not what it used to be. And I don't think people make great games as much anymore. So for somebody who maybe has a little bit of experience, maybe the game that really didn't get a lot of good reception, will that affect you?
Usually you are paid per like the contract. So like
per like trimester, like quarter one, quarter two, quarter three.
Maybe. Yeah, it depends. All the companies are structured in their own way. If your role was pinpointed as the problem, mm-hmm. if your role caused the bad user experience, if your bit of art seemed unrealistic to people, then maybe that would affect it. But it's a team effort that, you know, there's a big focus in this degree and in the industry in teams, mm-hmm. in everybody working together to come up with the best product. So it can, but you know, if you release your game on the same day as the next Call of Duty, right. You can't expect to be the top download on Microsoft that day, mm-hmm. or for many weeks after that, probably. I like indie games. I mostly only play indie games. The biggest game that I play is Diablo. And I agree with you, the gaming industry could use a boost. And a lot of people think it's VR. A lot of people think it's AR. And PlayStation tried to jump on that, mm-hmm. and with the PlayStation VR headset, but it's not really selling that well because the games that are made for it are retrofitted from non-VR games. Yeah. So it's clunky and awkward. So that means programming the whole thing over again. Yeah. I don't think that retrofitting something like that would work.
So. What other kind of changes do you think they should make to the industry?
Well, I know there was a lot in the news about lack of diversity, both in gender and ethnicity and just everything. Better community, inclusion, diversity. I also think that more, and this has nothing to do with the developers, but it has to do with maybe like the big companies like Microsoft and Sony, as inclusion. Mm-hmm. In ability and like disability services and what tech could be used to improve someone who has a disability that would prevent them from playing games otherwise. And I think it's necessary as we move forward. If people can go to college 100% online, if people can do high school and grade school 100% online, as we saw during the pandemic, then why can't we game online 100% hands off? You know, what are they? They have those things where somebody who can't speak, they can move their eyes to say words. And yes, and I don't understand why you can't make your character move with your eyes in that way.
That literally goes into UX.
Yes, exactly. All users should have a good user experience. It's a perfect way to put it. It goes into UX. And if people need to advocate for their wants and needs within gaming, mm-hmm. and they would need to hold the companies accountable for not doing it. Mm-hmm. And I hope that digital activism is also a future in the business. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of colleges are offering social media and internet law programs, mm-hmm. Especially in the United States, because it's such a big deal, bigger deal when somebody does something like on social media here. So those are even programs that I think will aid those in programs like mine, mm-hmm. And users in general in getting what they need and want and deserve out of gaming.
And transitioning from a program like yours, what are some of like the bigger universities that people tend to transfer to?
Towson has a really good program that can go into. That is the one that comes to mind the most. Mm-hmm. Not only is it fairly local, but it's a great school.
Have you thought about implementing the metaverse into your course?
So, like, in a way, it already is. In that our Oculus headsets exist and that we can create our own avatars and then apply it to another game or website or, you know, what is the one called? Second Life or whatever. You can take an avatar there. But it may take hold a little more in the third and fourth semesters, because I think the metaverse is a bit of a heavy concept, even for digital natives.
In what way?
I think it's a little scary to think of leaving your whole entire real life,
just having a second
and
one.
And then having this second one in which you act out all these things, good or bad, and then you are expected to go back to your real life and not feel like also that person.
Mm-hmm.
The only comparison I can make, which is such a stupid one, I said I play roller derby. When you play roller derby, you have a derby name. Well, since my first name is Rachel and I knew I would never hear anything else on the track, mm-hmm. I went with Rage Against the Machine, one of my favorite bands from the 90s.
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, yeah. So when I step onto the track, I'm a blocker. I'm this big, you know, the one that keeps somebody from getting by me. I wear this, like,
we call it black.
Oh, no. It is big, like eye black for like football you would put under your eyes for whatever. It's big bars like this, and I drag it down my face and become this other person who's this monster. And then I go hug my baby off of the track, and I'm like, hi, baby girl. You know, it's that juxtaposition of, am I going back to being wife and mom and a professor and student immediately after knocking somebody down, you know, on purpose.
I mean, but you can really say that about like playing games in general.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, is it not like role playing to the max?
It is.
I think that it has more real world consequences since you are using like, I've seen like a whole market, like a real money and stuff like that. But I mean, at the same time, you also do that in games too. So it's like, where do you draw the line?
And then like you have like your experiences like Roblox and Minecraft and World of Warcraft, where real money buys fake money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a heavier concept after you get in. I think that after getting into the things that you're creating,
exactly.
And then taking a step back and reflecting on this thing that I'm creating, what am I putting into the world?
Mm-hmm.
Is it good? Is it bad? We love anti-heroes in gaming and nerd culture. We love our Deadpool and we love our Joker and our, you know, these people that are not especially good, but we love them. And are we putting the right things into the world for someone to then, into the unreal world, and then will somebody mimic that in the real world?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big think. That's big things. That's big head thinking.
Yeah.
And usually comes to the end of programs when you have to start thinking about
the ethics of it,
the positive and negative, the detachment from real life and empathy and emotions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do talk about it often, about the positive and negative, where it goes.
Yeah. Early
once it leaves the computer, where does it go?
Yeah. I mean, earlier you talked about like how important ethics was. I mean, you've been talking still about like how much of an importance like society and how much that really matters to be a good person, to even communicate with like your art and stuff too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the projected outlook of interactive media in the future?
If you don't have a website or an app, you're dead. You know, your business is dead. That's just the way it works. And unless my sci-fi brain, that, you know, the prediction of my sci-fi brain, and we have a Walking Dead scenario or an EMP or some horrible thing and tech goes away, it's here. And the more interactive, the more interactive something needs to be, the more user-friendly it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this stuff is going to apply to everything. So like I said, pharmacy app, 20 years ago, that would have been ridiculous to be able to order your prescriptions on your phone. It would have been completely ridiculous. And in 20 years from now, what are we going to be able to do? We're going to be able to have, I mean, Amazon's already dropping things off with drones. I mean, that's not 20 years. That's probably 2 years before you can get your medicine dropped off at your back door by a drone, so no one gets it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be involved in everything. Even television, we have seen, not television necessarily, but series like the Black Mirror and the Minecraft things that had Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's interactive.
That's interactive. You're watching something. You just happen to be able to choose a little bit. There's internet comics, like online comics that are slightly animated, slightly not, where you can go and choose your own adventure. I want to say it was some kind of a safety training when I got hired here was interactive. You had to choose the right answer. And then if you chose the wrong answer, it took you down a review. If you choose the right answer, you can move on to the next. So there's a lot of applications for it that will cut down on cost for, like we were talking about, the medical training. We don't have to have all of these physical things to touch and expensive places to store them and buy them and things like that. And while manufacturing is a concern that it would technology, people always say, oh, technology is going to take away from manufacturing. It's going to take away from shipping. And it's not. It's not going to make that big of a dent, but it might make someone's life easier and make someone's experience easier.
Absolutely. How can someone find more information about the IMP program?
So my office is in Joppa 130. I'm there most of the time, Monday through Thursday, but definitely email. It's rakalwa@harford.edu. And I love talking about this program. So I just think it's so necessary and it's unique. There's only a few other colleges in the state, particularly community colleges, that have this. And they're not the same as ours. So every single one of them is different. And I think ours is very encompassing of computer, of design, like we were talking about law and ethics. It's very all-encompassing of what you might need to take this directly to a job, to a four-year. So.
Well, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Sure, anytime.
Thanks again for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Information about the programs offered can be found on the HCC website, harford.edu. Enter Interactive Media Production in the search bar. You can also email rakalwa@harford.edu. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangura for conducting the interview and to our editor, Zach Cloyd. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.